This is a reading of page 284 to 286 of F. Scott Fitzgerald's Tender is the Night. He could not rise. Nicole saw him shift his position and strain upward again, but at the instant when the weight of his partner was full upon his shoulders, he became immovable. He tried again, lifting an inch, 2 inches. Nicole felt the sweat glands of her forehead open as she strained with him. Then he was simply holding his ground. Then he collapsed back on his knees with a smack, and they went over, Dick's head barely missing the kick of the board. "Hurry back!" Nicole called to the driver. Even as she spoke, she saw him slide under water, and she gave a little cry. But he came up again and turned on his back, and Chateau swam near to help. It seemed forever until the boat reached them, but when they came alongside at last, Nicole saw Dick floating exhausted and expressionless, alone with the water in the sky. Her panic changed suddenly to contempt. "We'll help you up, doctor. Get his foot. All right. Now all together." Dick sat painting and looking at nothing. "I knew you shouldn't have tried it," Nicole could not help saying. "He tired himself the first 2 times," said the Mexican. "It was a foolish thing," Nicole insisted. Rosemary tactfully said nothing. After a minute, Dick got his breath, painting. "I couldn't have lifted a paper doll that time." An explosive little laugh relieved the tension caused by his failure. They were all attentive to Dick as he disembarked at the dock, but Nicole was annoyed. Everything he did annoyed her now. She sat with Rosemary under an umbrella while Dick went to the buffet for a drink. He returned presently with some sherry for them. "The first drink I ever had was with you," Rosemary said, and with a spurt of enthusiasm she added, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you and know you're all right. I was worried," her sentence broke as she changed direction, "that maybe you wouldn't be." "Did you hear I'd gone into the process of deterioration?" "Oh, no, I simply just heard you changed, and I'm glad to see with my own eyes that it isn't true." "It is true," Dick answered, sitting down with him. "The change came a long way back, but at first it didn't show. The manner retains intact for some time after the morale cracks." "Do you practice on the Riviera?" Rosemary demanded hastily. "It'd be a good ground to find likely specimens." He nodded here and there at the people milling around in the golden sand. "Great candidates. Notice our old friend, Mrs. Abrams, playing Duchess to Mary North's Queen. Don't get jealous about it. Think of Mrs. Abrams' long climb up the back stairs of the Ritz on her hands and knees, and all the carpet dust she had to inhale." Rosemary interrupted him. "But is that really Mary North?" She was regarding a woman sauntering in their direction, followed by a small group who behaved as if they were accustomed to being looked at. When they were 10 feet away, Mary's glance flickered fractionally over the divers, one of those unfortunate glances that indicate to the glanced upon that they have been observed but are to be overlooked. The sort of glance that neither the divers nor Rosemary Hoyt had ever permitted themselves to throw at anyone in their lives. Dick was amused when Mary perceived Rosemary, changed her plans, and came over. She spoke to Nicole with pleasant heartiness, nodded unsmilingly to Dick as if he was somewhat contagious, whereupon he bowed in ironic respect. As she greeted Rosemary,